We stopped by in Springfield, Missouri, which is really the buckle on the Bible Belt, or so they like to think, and we saw this huge Shriners Lodge. And we went along, and they were having a big gathering. They were having a shrine circus for children. They love to be seen publicly doing good, you see. These are good men. And they had their little fezzes on, and they were going into their lodge, which was called, what was it now? The Shrine Mosque. And that gives an indication of what it's all about. And the first thing we noticed is the writing along the top, just under this dome, you see. All of this has a meaning, of course. And Pat asked the Shriner, who was on the door, what does it mean? And he said, it's just symbolic, it doesn't mean anything. Well, we knew that couldn't be true. What kind of man would go to a club that he doesn't know the meaning of their symbol and emblem right over the main tower, right above the front door? Well, we sent it off to Israel, and some Arab Christian translated it for us. Our son-in-law arranged all this. And this is what it said. There is no God but Allah. This is what the Shriners believe. When you go into the shrine, which is the eastern branch, the mystic branch of Freemasonry, you have to be a 32-degree Mason usually to get in, and you go in and you swear an oath on Allah, on the Quran. You swear your allegiance to Allah. Every Shriner has to do this. So now you know. What does the first commandment say? I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The man that we spoke to outside claimed to be a Christian. He's a very ignorant and stupid Christian if he thinks he can be in the lodge and in the church. You cannot worship two gods. You worship the one true God or you're not saved. And these men, I'm afraid, are not saved. They believe that they will be judged at the great white throne judgment, which they will be. That's a judgment for the damned. If you go to a Masonic cemetery, and I've got some pictures of this last week in Tennessee, you'll see white thrones, which is, they think it's something good. You see, they're so ignorant. They don't know scripture. That's the judgment of the damned. And they are damned unless they come out and repent. And a lot of men have, of course. It's a great curse on America, the lodge and the shrine. And they meet in secret, and they don't let people in who could be, quote, saved, you see. They have to be invited in. They have to be good men. The Lord Jesus didn't come for good men. He came for sinners like me. And anyone who goes to a church, even a terrible church, is welcomed in. What did the Lord Jesus say? I have spoken openly to the world. I spoke nothing in secret. That's a paraphrase, but that's what the Lord said. Churches are open. Shrines and lodges are shut. That alone tells you all you need to know about them. The New World Order is about politics and religion. Again, back to the Rockefellers. This is what their fund said in 1959. We cannot escape and indeed should welcome the task of helping to shape a new world order in all its dimensions, spiritual, economic, political, and social. That's why this thing has many arms. It's like a great big evil octopus. In 1942, Brother Ken would probably have told you about this the other day, the U.S. Melvin Conference, which was of churches, Protestant churches, they also were working for a new world order. They said they were aiming for a world government, strong immediate limitations on national sovereignty, international control of armies, worldwide freedom of immigration, elimination of all tariff and quota restrictions. That destroys jobs in countries like yours, you see. So the churches of America have been working towards this. That's why they lap up things like Rick Warren and his purpose-driven stuff, because they've long since forgotten what they're there to do, which is preach the gospel and get people saved. They don't want to get people saved, particularly, I don't think, anyway. They want to get people in and increase their numbers. It's all about success, you see. Well, we're not about success. We're about truth. The Lord is the truth. What is the North American Union? I'm going to have a few minutes to try and expand a little bit on what Brother Bob said the other night, because it's important that you should know this. You've got a choice. You have a country, the United States of America, or you have a North American Union. And the choice is yours. The more people that find out all this, and again, some of it is in our book, the more people are aware and can work to stop it. If you talk about it to most politicians, they will laugh at you and say it's a figment of your imagination. It's part of the New World Order, and it's coming in very quickly. The immediate plan is the merger of these three countries, but South and Central America are possibly going to be included later. The Union is being set up very rapidly, but very few people know about it. In September 2006, the three countries sent their leaders, business leaders, religious leaders, and political leaders, and all sorts of officials like ambassadors, to a place in Canada called the Castle in the Rockies. And they actually planned a lot of this. And it was supposed to be a secret meeting, but I had a mole who sent me a lot of the information. We even know what rooms they met in, who actually took each session, who was the chairman, what delegates were there, and what they talked about. So if anyone tells you that this is a figment of my imagination, I can prove otherwise in great detail. People there included Donald Rumsfeld, U.S. Trade Representative Carla Hills, George Shultz, etc. No press were invited. This paper found out and commented, "The public has been kept in the dark while the business elite have played a lead role in designing the blueprint for this more integrated North America. It's not a figment of anyone's imagination. Here's where they all met, nice and far away from prying eyes. I have the full documentation and even know how they met. They were talking about joint energy strategy, security cooperation, border infrastructure, there won't be any, by the way, only around the countries, not between them, and much else besides. Massive integration is planned. Your country is going to go the same way that we have gone in Europe." Here's a State Department document from 2005, which said, from a Canadian representative, Phil Ventura, "The three countries should declare their intent to integrate industries including car making, drugs, textile, furniture, steel. The more, the better." You see? That's a quote. A lot of this information you can get on government websites. It's not secret. It's just many people don't even bother to find out about it. It is rather a tedious process. You have to go through hundreds of pages. I spend many, many hours doing this. But it's out there, hidden in plain view, if you like. You can find out if you wish. "No, the voters have not approved it. You would probably vote it down even without having all the detail. The Congress has never voted on it. The Big Brother Brigade say they are doing nothing that meets your approval." They haven't signed treaties, you see. They've signed agreements and memorandums, but it's still working the same way. "Here are some of the agreements, partnerships, etc., between America, Canada, and Mexico, with 31 other countries also involved, starting in 1994 with NAFTA, going on to the Free Trade Area of the Americas, and finally, 2005, the Security and Prosperity Partnership." Sounds wonderful. Who would ever vote against security and prosperity, especially in perilous times like today? And these meetings are ongoing. They meet regularly. I've got pictures and documentation. Here's one of the meetings that was chaired by David Rockefeller. This was in Quebec in 2001. Here is your president. And here are the leaders of North, South, and Central America planning to merge their countries at some stage in the future. But in the meanwhile, set up extensive trade and other links, building roads and so on. The buzzwords that you have to look for are exactly the same as you find in the EU Constitution. They talk about globalism, hemispheric integration, collective responsibility, social justice, an inter-American court, which is already operating, gender equality, the needs of migrants. They say, "We do not fear globalization, sustainable development, a more integrated approach, etc." If someone tells you this is just about trade, you can show them this and say, does it sound like it's just about trade? Certainly isn't. NAFTA, the North American Union, is not just about trade. The plan is for the USA to open its borders and link in economic union with Canada and Mexico. But the ultimate plan is to have a 34-nation free trade area with 800 million people. That was what they were discussing at the meeting I showed you earlier. Warning, we were told the EU was just about trade, would not affect our sovereignty, which we are just about to totally lose in 2009. They lie. This was a meeting last year in Texas called Moving North America Forward. You could have gone if you had enough money to pay to go in as a delegate. Voters were not consulted. These were the leaders, movers, and shakers of business and politics. And they were talking about everything from national intelligence, education, science and technology, blue skies thinking, which could mean almost anything. And they also had something called a pandemic workshop. It sounds like a disease, but nevertheless, they plunged in and discussed it. So these people are moving. They're like weasels. They're like the things that burrow in wood. We call them woodworm or death watch beetle. They burrow away, and your country is like the plank of wood, but people are burrowing in it. It's one day you tread on it and it collapses, and goodbye America, goodbye Britain. That's how it's done. It's done in secret until it's too late to do anything about it. Here's one of their meetings called the Summit of the Americas. This was Argentina in 2005.